Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, God. We're a rejoicing people. Lord, thank you that nothing, hallelujah, nothing formed, no weapon, praise God, has any power over us. Lord, we're so thankful, Jesus, that you're for us. And if you be for us, who could be against us? Lord, encourage these families here tonight. God, encourage every life. Lord, not just in the love of Christ, but Lord, that you're in love with them. Oh God, strike our hearts. Cause that love to come back to you. Lord, just feed us your truth, Lord, in this wonderful grace. What opportunity we have. God, we're walking through the promise. And Lord, you're showing us light upon light. Lord, help us to draw in for more. God, give us the hearts of those, Lord, that knew that it was theirs, that it was now, that they were well able to take it now. And God, let us go in and possess it. Possess the land. I hear you say it tonight to each and every one of us, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God. And I'll mention as well, as far as I've had some different ones ask about a memorial service for our precious sister. If the Lord tarry, God willing, we will have an appropriate time that the Lord will give us if he tarry. And we will have a service, praise the Lord, to rejoice and honor and thank God for that grace that is with and was with precious Fernie. So again, don't you be sad about it. The Lord will give us a time of rejoicing. So we'll leave that to him. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 2. And we are in this precious journey. I can't remember if it's number 16 or 17 or 18 of these in Christ studies. And you find them all in Paul's letters. And so thank the Lord for this depth of the gospel that he brought through this precious vessel. But let's go ahead and read the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, "And you hath he quickened." Isn't that beautiful? I love when he talks to me. You like it when he talks to you? Praise the Lord. I love when he talks to me. And he's talking to you, so listen to him. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Well, I think you can conclude there's none righteous, no, not one. Praise the Lord. Sets us all where we need to be. We need the blood. And here we go. But God. Hallelujah. But God, but God, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Isn't that beautiful? Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, in that precious 10 verses, we have these two in Christ tonight. And as we go, let's approach these in the understanding of the context of what we're reading here, where these gems, and I mean the gemstones of these in Christ, are found. And the way that you understand, and I am thanking God tonight, thinking back how long time ago I was so graced to be able to teach the young people's class here. I believe it started about 18 years old. Not young people's, but the Sunday school for the high school and college age kids. And I should say young people. I was a kid then too. I was only 18. So I was teaching my peers in a lot of ways. But at that time, beginning to teach, and taught that all the way till I was 40 years old. What a blessing. I'll tell you, what a blessing. One of the greatest times in my life to share the word of God and be encouraged by sweet young people all those years. But one of the things the Lord always impressed on me to impress upon them, when you read the word of God, you ask Jesus, Lord, encourage me in it, open my heart. Ask the Spirit to, again, give you that enlightened eyes of understanding as you go into it. Minister to me. And as that goes in there, know who's speaking. Know who's the Lord using to speak these things. Know who's being spoken to. Meaning, are they a believer that writer is writing or speaking to? Is it an unbeliever? Is it a baby believer? Or is it a mature believer in the Lord? And then finally, what's being spoken about. And so in context to what I'm talking about tonight, first to know who's speaking here, well, it's the Apostle Paul. And then who's he speaking to? Well, he's writing here this letter to the Ephesians. And we know that the word Ephesians means the fully purposed, to be full purposed. So he is writing this letter to the Philadelphia saints that are in Ephesus. And then finally, what is being spoken about? Well, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he was the chosen vessel unto God that was given the dispensation of the mystery of Christ in the church, the bridal message. So we know that what's being spoken about, and thanks be to God that we've heard it, is God has allowed us to have this ministered to us. Well, I was rejoicing today since 1936, Living Waters Tabernacle, and praise God. It was the message. It's not a building. It's not anything about anybody. It's a message. And thank you, Jesus, that message has not changed. And it doesn't change. And I thank God for it. But what this is the high water mark of the Word of God. That's what we have here in this Ephesians letter. And so in that, we know that this letter is so tailor-made and specifically sent and written to the ones that are running for the prize, to the ones that want the message of the crown gospel. And I thank the Lord for that. I think back a Sunday's message there in Philippians 3:11. We saw there that out resurrection. Amen. And see, in that out resurrection, that word, as we rejoiced in, found one time in the Bible, ex Anastasius. I love how that definition that was so profound that God had me to come across, a sweet person, sweet man that loved the word of God, the called out from the called, the resurrection out from the resurrection. So you know, and he even said, this is a certain smaller group of people that are taken out. They're taken out from the people of God. It's marvelous. It's marvelous how that is. But you see, to fully understand what that means, brothers and sisters, you have to have the knowledge of the context of what's being spoken of. See, without understanding the mystery that was given to Paul, without placing it in the context of even Philippians chapter 3, what's the context of that whole chapter there? In many ways, it's everything to Paul. It's the one thing to Paul to be part of that out resurrection, which to qualify for that, you need to be the winner of the race, the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But see, without understanding that in context of what that verse is all about, it's just an encouraging verse. It's just something that's interesting. As opposed to what it really is, it's the glory of all ages to come. That's the truth. And without understanding that, it completely passes you by. So, As we go here tonight, these things that are spoken here in this Ephesian letter, let's receive it tonight by the grace of God as the mature sons of God that we are called to be. Amen? Amen. Let's get into this. Lord, light it up in us. That Paul is writing here to this church at Ephesus. And remember that God has called you from last week's study, that wonderful study of chapter 1 of those in Christ. We know that God has called us to receive all wisdom. He's called us to all understanding. Amen? Amen. And praise the Lord, in that he's also given us the power in Christ to have it. So by the grace of God, let's take it. Now, he tells us here right off the bat, he has quickened us. I'm going to have to take my sweater off. I'm getting a little bit hot. I thought I would. But he says here he's quickened us. Uh-oh, we've got a problem here. What is that? Houston? Hold on one second. I apologize, y'all. But I knew it. How did I know that? We're going to have to. This is going to be funny. You can see this. All right. Thank you for bearing with me. I apologize. But see, he tells us right off the bat here that we're quickened together in Christ. And we read here that he quickened us even when we were dead in sin. And how wonderful that is, to that longing of the Lord. And he quickened us even when we were walking in the way of Satan himself. But as we rejoice, whom he foreknew, praise God, you hath he quickened. And he quickened us together for this. He made us alive in him. And that word quickened, yes, it's alive in him, but it's far more than that. It's always that way with God. Quickened means to be sharpened. Quickened means to take flight in him. Quickened means that he even increased desire in us. See, when he gives us his life, brothers and sisters, he put it all in our favor. He didn't just give you his life. He put it all in your favor. He stacked everything in our favor. Praise the Lord. I was rejoicing as he brought this to me here this past week. And it's all because of but God, who is rich in mercy. I think I hear you hollering out your houses. That's what you need to holler about. But it's because God, who is rich in mercy, and the great love wherewith he hath loved us. See, he loved us all the way along. He loved our hearts. He foreknew us in Christ. And he was just waiting all that time for that quickening, praise God, for our lives. You don't think he's a lover? Now, once again, even though we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with him. He gave us his life, and being in Christ, hallelujah, we're raised, hallelujah, and we're seated together in the heavens in Christ. And that's done. That's done. That's finished. Praise God. Our standing is secure. And we're seated with him over there. Now, when he says that we're raised and seated with him, brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. This is for every child of God. We know that. Praise the Lord. He's so gracious. That's what he does just in that moment. It's all there for us. We're in Christ. But now, let's really go on specifically who Paul is writing to here. He is speaking, praise God, to ones that want to go on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's speaking to those that, praise the Lord, want to go on to the much the more. So then, as we come to verse 7, it's going to take on a completely different depth and a height in meaning to us who believe and take the place by faith with these full-purposed Ephesian ones. These mature sons of God. Hallelujah. As the Lord says, perfect, complete, the fullness, the stature of Him. Oh my. See, this is the enormity of grace that if you'll take it, but see, you have to take it now to enjoy the heights and the depth of what we'll read right now in verse 7. So He raised us up together, and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. My, oh my. So, brothers and sisters, He sat us, praise God, He sat us in the heavens in Christ. And He sat us there as we take what we've read from chapter 1 into here. He set you there in the foreknowledge of what your heart would receive. I want you to think about that. He didn't just sit you there to sit you there. He sit you there to grow and to grow up. And He set you there, praise God, to receive this high calling message. And thus, He predestined us, praise God, to hear the message of the shared glory with Him. That in the ages to come, praise the Lord, by taking this message, that we would partake with Him in the height of the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. Brothers and sisters, this is just beyond. I thank God that He's called us out for this. I think about Paul's letters. I think about how his letters, praise God, they contain all the riches of that glory. Paul's gospel is where all the riches are. Praise God. It is. And see, Paul's gospel is the entirety of the Word of God. I hope we understand that. It's the whole counsel. But it's the whole counsel fully revealed because of what was given to him. Praise the Lord. It took those things that were hidden in the Old Testament. It took the things that the prophets wrote of, that the sons of men, they wanted to look into. They wanted to see and understand what they were writing. But God said, oh, honeys, that's not for you. Oh, you have a wonderful place. Matter of fact, you can have a full overcoming place for you too. But this is for a time that's to come. You are writing those things for those that are living April 15th, 2020. That are living, praise God, that message of Paul's bridal calling. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord that we know it. And if you'll get to know it, you'll see it. And you won't see anything else. Hallelujah. But see, it's Paul's letters that own the riches. And I'm so thankful Paul's letters, all by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost put them right in here. You got them right in there? Hallelujah. I know they're here. I'm reading them. Praise God. But they became real. They became mine. And that's how the Holy Ghost does that. He ministers those things to you. I've been sitting on that camel for some time, all by the grace of God. And that Holy Ghost just keeps ministering and ministering. Honey, I'm taking you to the bridegroom. Praise be to God. And hallelujah, in knowing these things in my heart, God has put those in me. And I'll tell you what, I own those riches now for my Christ, my bridegroom. And I mean that. My heart is the treasure vault for God. You take this message into your heart, let me tell you something. That heart will be the treasure vault for Him. All the very inheritance, praise God, of Him is in that saint that will take the riches of those glories of the ministering of His grace. Now, let's go on in this thought of these riches. The only place in the Word of God, well, I should say it this way, the only place in the New Testament you'll find the word riches in a positive way, are only found in Paul's gospel. You'll find the word riches in the gospels. You'll find them in Revelation as well too. But you'll find those in a negative context, like setting your hearts on the riches of this life and the riches of this world. But there's something about Paul's gospel and Paul's letters. The riches there are always positive. They're always about glory. They're all about the riches, praise God, that he wants us to take for the bridegroom. Now, in Paul's epistles, in Ephesians 1, we read about the riches of Christ. In Ephesians 2, you're reading right now with me, we're reading about the exceeding riches of his grace. And then in chapter 3, we're going to get to the unsearchable riches that are in Christ. These riches of us in Christ ever expand in his grace, brothers and sisters. They just keep expanding and expanding. And you think about the grace that he's poured out to us to receive this. The grace, praise God, that we're growing in to continue to enlarge, hallelujah, of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But this grace, let me tell you something, there's going to even be more. As we read here, the exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness to us, that's awaiting us. And I'll tell you what, you start to get into that, you're going to understand you've got to have a body like unto his own glorious body. It is. It's just too much to contain these exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. You're going to have to be. I'm going to have to be like him to even step into that realm of what he is going to minister and show and the love that we're going to have with one another. When I see him, I'm going to be like him. Hallelujah. Now, we get to that height, such incredible height, and then right back to the simplicity, how sweet our Lord is. Let's read verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't you love him? He's talking about the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness in all the ages to come. And here he brings us back so sweetly. Honeys, you're saved by grace. Hallelujah. It's that grace. Hallelujah. And that not of yourselves. It's always my gift. And it's not of works. There's no boasting at all. No man can boast at all. This is freely given. Salvation, everything forward, it's grace. It's all a gift. Nothing's ever earned. It's just taken by grace through faith. It's mercy upon mercy. I read this and it strikes my heart how precious our Lord is. He takes us always to such heights in what he has for us. But then immediately, he always brings us back to the thought and the knowledge of the precious infirmity, the weakness that truly we are. But for God, it's just him. I think of it just like the Apostle Paul. As Paul said, I sought the Lord thrice about this thorn. But then the Lord ministered to my heart that the Lord had sent that messenger of Satan to buffet me. And it wasn't to hurt me. It was to save me from myself. Because I had been given such an enormous grace in the wisdom and the knowledge of the height of Christ and his bridegroom, that if it wasn't for his perfect knowledge of my life and knowing that without that buffeting, I would be puffed up and my self-righteousness of the knowledge I had would be the defeat of my life, that God in his faithfulness always would bring the perfect, humbling things for my life. Praise you, Jesus. And he does it even in Scripture, doesn't he? Isn't that wonderful? He takes us to the heights, and then he takes us to how he always got it, how he got us there, how he took us there, how it's all him. Praise the Lord. It's marvelous. His care for us. I know, hallelujah, by his grace, I'm going to win him. I get too puffed up. He's going to take care of it. He loves me. Know how he loves us. Praise God. Now, he always brings us back to that. He's always going to show you and tell you, honeys, it's not of your works. It's not of your efforts. We come to Philippians here shortly, and once again, that ministering will come. Paul says, Lord, I do not want to be found having a shred of my own righteousness. I just want your righteousness. That's all, and the only thing I want to be found in is you. And hear the Lord so faithfully. It's not of our works or our efforts. There's nothing for us to boast in. It was always a gift. It will always be a gift. And he tells us sweetly so many ways through the Word of God. I love it. He can't deny himself. He can't deny himself you. That's what's so beautiful. He can't deny himself you. He can't deny himself me. He can't deny himself with us. As he said, I saved you and I forgave your sins for my sake. You're mine. I love that. I know I tell him, oh Lord, what you did for me. And he said, oh, I did it for me. I wanted you. I just say thank you. Now, after this, verse 10 is coming around here and he takes us right back into the heights again. Isn't that beautiful how he does this? Back into the heights of the pure, wondrous grace that's been waiting there since ages past. Now really, we got to really get our hearts around this one, I'll tell you. Let's read verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Now this is right after he tells us that by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. From the very beginning in Christ, we are his workmanship. All right? And it'll never change. It will never change. Because here's why. He tells us. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Amen? See that wonderful new birth that put us right in there. Hallelujah. And we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, those good works, those are the excellent things. His love and his passion in the foreknowledge of my soul, this foreknowledge of your soul, even when we were dead in sin. Even when we were dead in sin, he sought you in his love. He sought you. Hallelujah. To save me by his grace, giving me the faith to believe him. Nothing of me, all of him in every aspect. And brothers and sisters, as you read this, not just the salvation of our soul, but we're talking about all the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. They're right there. It wasn't just the saving of my soul. He had his eyes set on us for complete salvation. Oh, yes, he did. Whom he foreknew, them he did predestinate. And oh my, how it got all the way. And he glorified. That just didn't happen on the fly. That was in ages past in what he thought and saw. And put out those good works that you should walk therein. How marvelous. How marvelous. Oh, take it in Jesus' name. Take it. So here we go. It wasn't just salvation for my soul. It was complete salvation for my entire life. My entire life. His workmanship. The entirety of our lives. Complete salvation. Salvation with eternal glory. Salvation. Hallelujah. That I would grow wise unto my salvation. Amen. We're talking about that path. that wise to my salvation, that I would be so wise, I would wear the same crown with Paul. Praise God. That's what it is. All because of Jesus, all because of in Christ, all because, hallelujah, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, because of all the before-ordained works he prepared for us to walk therein. Do you see your life? And it's a path that was strewn with these good works to walk therein. What are those good? That's Paul's gospel. That's just big steps in grace after grace after grace after grace. The riches of his grace, the unsearchable riches of his grace. All along, every bit of our life for more desire, for more teaching. Remember, that's how he put us in there. That's the quickening. See, the quickening in Christ, I love that. He gives desire. We need to be quickened. We need desire. Amen? We need desire. We flatline all the time, but that quickening in him, hallelujah. Let the Spirit do it again and again and again and again. Now that's the love, brothers and sisters, is every step of our lives tailor-made of faith. Every step tailor-made of faith. Because that's all that pleases God. And think about how he made us. The life I now live, I live by sometimes in the faith. No, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's my life. That's your life. That's every Christian's life. Praise God. It's a life of faith. I understand whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I get that. But I know your life, Christian, and it's a life of faith. It doesn't live any other way. It's a life of grace. It's a life, praise God. Whoever's born of God does not commit sin, neither can he sin. Come on. Get excited. It's okay. It's Wednesday night. You have nowhere to go tomorrow morning. Just stay up late. Think about Jesus. But this is what this is. He's given us a tailor-made life of faith. Because that's all that pleases him. See, God's not going to put things out there that's not going to please him. He's going to put steps of faith. And I'll tell you what about steps of faith. You know how you get steps of faith? You got to have truth. You're never going to have any faith without truth. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now here you are again tonight. What truth are you hearing by the grace of God? Not because of this man. It's just a mouthpiece. But I'll tell you what, by the Holy Ghost, this is the message. This is it. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the steps of faith for you. That's called the most holy faith. That's the launched out there one. That's the one that goes out unto him, out from among the camp faith. Amen. That's what he's given. That's why you have an ear to hear this. Because of his grace. Because of his foreknowledge. Because of his love. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Not a one of us was born right. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The only time we got born right was when we got born of the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Get that. So God, he put out these steps of faith. So in order to have more steps of faith, I just need more truth. So I know where these steps are going in Christ. Where are they going? Where are they headed? It's going to head one place. It's going to be all truth and it's going to be all faith. That's the path that he's laid out there. Amen. Oh, yes, it is. He wouldn't put any other path in front of you. He wouldn't put any other path in front of you. He's not a respecter of his children. Let me tell you something. He is not. And you know it. And time again we hear about. I know every one of us thinks we're God's favorite, but we're not. He loves all of his kids the same. He really does. He wants them all to grow up. We're all born the same way. A Lord of all. Praise the Lord. It's all there. Every one of them born a little glory. Boom. Ready to grow to full glory. Hallelujah. But here it is. He's put these steps in front of us. And oh my, I'll tell you what. It's going to be all truth and all faith if we'll walk in it. And that's the depth and the maturity that we're being preached here by Paul's gospel. And the way you take it is you take it by faith. Now, once again, think about the beauty of the foreknowledge of your salvation in your heart. That he knew you would receive all truth. He did. That's why he brought you to a place to hear it. Think about the story of my sweet mom. And there was my grandmother so many years ago, right there after the Depression. And my grandmother was just married. And she's pregnant with my mother. And her husband at that time didn't want her to have a child. And my grandmother was determined that the Lord had given her that child. And that man left her. Now, we could have said, well, that's terrible, and it would have been better if he would have stayed with her and, you know, raised my mom, and they could have just had a happy home, and, you know, maybe they could have been on a postcard, and maybe it would have been this way or that way. And then Sister Hill would have never been able to minister to Brother D.E. Hill. And Brother D.E. Hill wouldn't have that unction then from that point on to go on with God. And then he had an uncle that was kind of a kook, but that little kook would jump around from church to church, and he knew somehow that his nephew D.E., because God had put that in his heart. I think you want more. Why don't you go here? And he handed him a little flyer about Brother Copley. And that's how he got there. And that's how he grew up and understood this truth. And that's how my mother was ministered that gospel. And as my mom then ministered that to me. Now, you don't think that's exact and that's precise. And I know each and every one of us, that's what's so marvelous. We all have that same testimony. He snatched us. He circled us out. In the foreknowledge of his heart, in ages past, he was just waiting with all of this for us. Perfectly. And without every little detail, it never would have been. And this is the truth. The very masterpiece of everything in Christ was waiting for us in him. And it was made specifically for each one of us. And I want you to understand this. Yes, we're all in his body. But you know what? We're all a different part of it. That's the thing I thank the Lord about. We're a cast of characters in the body of Christ. It's marvelous. We're in the same body, but we're all a different part. Even though we're in the same place, we're all unique to him. So every one of us is going to have specific trials and experiences that are individually tailored for each and every one of us to fit every detail of our life. The before ordained good works that we should walk in them. It's going to be the same truth. It's going to be that same fullness. But the way God brings you to it and ministers to you, and the way he buffets you, it's always going to be different for each and every one of us. But the one thing we can always count on is it's going to be perfect. It's exact. It's precise. And in this gospel, I'll tell you what, it produces one thing, the bride. That's all it can. You take this and go on with it. It's going to produce the same thing. How he leads you to it, it's always going to be a unique, the most incredible, sometimes terrifying ride of your life. And you know it. And you know it. And oftentimes you say, Lord, are you sure? In those dark hours, you say, Lord, how's this going to work? Lord, I invested this. This doesn't seem right. God, you've ministered to me and I've done this and failed so miserably. And oh, how he swoops in each and every time. Oh, those are the before ordained good works, honey. Those are the before ordained good works. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, this is the masterpiece, brothers and sisters. This is the masterpiece. Every trial, every experience individually tailored for each and every detail of our personality, to experience, to our background, everything is so precise. So precise, God willing, we'll head into verse 21 and 22 next week. It says, in Christ, all the building is fitly framed together. What a masterpiece is his bride. You all are beautiful. Hallelujah. Oh, in him, altogether lovely. We fit perfectly. Just like when they brought them stones in for the tabernacle, they cut them perfect before they ever brought them in. They were never set in place. They were never chiseled or done or smitched even a moment. They were done perfectly before they were ever set in place. Trust God for your life. Let's just trust God for our life. Each stone, each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, a masterpiece built up in the word of his grace, built up in Christ to make me and you in that masterpiece. That path that he has for each and every one of us that's strewn perfectly. And look at that verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, when God brings out and whips out that before ordained, let me tell you something about that. That's before he ever set a star in heaven. That's before he did anything else. This was what he was thinking of, not just thinking of, but preparing for you. Before he ever set a star in heaven. Now, come on now. You can really get excited about this. This path was strewn perfectly before he made the heavens and the earth that would contain you. Before he made this, all of this, he had the path. He had those perfect steps before ordained. Now, really think about this. The wonders of heaven and earth. By him all things were made, for him all things were made. But he made all that for you and for me to live in and to grow up in. The perfect setting, the perfect setting, the perfect place, all created for the events of your life. That's the truth. All of it, all before ordained good works to walk in it. He made all of it for that path not to just be walked, but completed. And I thank the Lord. That's how important we are to him. It was all there for us in Christ and Christ in us. Now, I'm talking about the air you breathe. I'm talking about the water you drink. I'm talking about the food that you eat. I'm talking about the sun that warms this place. All the planets that orbit just right to hold it right in there and all these different things that God just spoke. He had our path and everything about it way before then. He said, okay, now I'm going to speak into existence the place that it's going to come forth in. Now just sit there. And thank him. And I do feel real sorry for someone that would think that's foolish. How could you not think that that is the absolute case when God gave you his son? How could that not be? He gave Jesus to us to die for us, to be made sin for us. How could you not even think then that if our lives are that important to Him, that He wouldn't have prepared everything for us to receive all of His Son? I think you can spend the rest of the night thanking Him, huh? Now, I do know that we are that important to Him because of Jesus. Because He tells us so sweetly, honeys, you're my inheritance. You're it. I sent my sons to give me more sons, to bring them to glory. We're God's inheritance. More obvious than the nose on your face, if you'll just believe. But as we finish this up, you think about that strewn path of the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Those are the excellent things, the excellent things, the excellent things that always produce the Shulamite. Amen? Yeah. The excellent things that would always produce the virtuous woman. Amen? Amen. And never forget who the Shulamites are and the virtuous women are. They're the Rahabs, the Tamars, the Bathshebas, the Ruths. Those are God's mercy women. And let me tell you something. The mercy women are always the tens to God. They always are. And I'll finish off with this. In Romans chapter 9, verse 23. He says it like this, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. Let's read that one more time together. That He might make known the riches of His glory. That's what we've been talking about, huh? The riches of His grace, the riches of His glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is who He's going to make known the riches of His glory on. Vessels of mercy, and here we go again, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Don't you ever doubt. Don't you ever doubt, honey. As we abide in this gospel, there's not one step out of place. Not one. No, not one. It's mercy all the way. It's mercy all the way. It's mercy, the most extreme, from the depth of hell that we deserved, to setting us on the throne of thrones, ruling and reigning jointly with Him. Mercy all the way. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, the wonders of Your love. When You say the great love wherewith we are loved, oh, my, oh, my. And then, someday soon, we that believe, here come the exceeding riches of Your grace and Your kindness to us. Lord, even so, come, and come quickly. Lord, thank You again for this passion of Yours that, Lord, You have penetrated into us. And God, You have quickened us. And Lord, thank You again for this stirring tonight. That's what Your Holy Ghost does. It stirs it up. And it makes it real and alive, God. Lord, let us have more of a groaning and more of a thanks, Lord Jesus, that we don't just sit around in this life, God, but that we walk, Lord, in those in large steps of faith, God, in joy unspeakable. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but oh, we know when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we give you all the praise and glory for that, Lord Jesus. And soon, face to face, our beloved bridegroom. And it's in your wondrous name. Thank you for that name. Thank you for that name. In Jesus' name, amen.